All right, so welcome to Finance Friday. I'm Jerry Fedda, founder, CEO of Wealth Dynamics, and I'm coming to you live this Friday night to talk about wealth building. I've been doing these courses on Friday nights for quite a long time now. And the reason I do them is it is financial education that builds wealth, right? I was on several podcasts this week, and I spoke at a live event. And it was all about mindset, right? It was about the mindset behind building wealth, the mindset behind being in the top 1%. But the thing that's paired with the mindset, right, it is actually the knowledge that we have, right? The knowledge that we have or do that we do or don't have as far as, you know, our financial literacy skills. So as we're going through this webinar tonight, what I'm going to be covering on this Finance Friday are the top things that you should know in order to increase your income in 2024, right? Now, I want to talk to you about not just increasing your income in 2024, but increasing your income so that you can get into the top 1% of income, right? And in order to get into the top 1% of income, the thing that we want to look at is what's that number? What's the target, right? So we're going to dive into what is the top 1% income number? How do we get there? What are the fundamentals, right? So the first thing I want to go over, guys, is what is the number? And I was looking at this and let me pull it up here. Okay, so to be in the top 1% income, $700,000 per year in taxable income, right? $700,000 per year in taxable income, right? Now let's break that down, right? And this is again taxable income. So if you're an entrepreneur, if you're an investor, if you're a business owner, this is not your gross income. This is not the money you bring in through your company in sales, right? This is literally like, what are you taking home? Right? What are you taking home? So, to be in the top 1%, $700,000 per month, guys, that's $58,333 per month in order to bring in 700 grand a year in taxable income, right? $58,333 per month. Okay. Now, if we look at this on a daily basis, right, this is going to be almost $2,000 a day. Right, $2,000 a day in taxable income. Now, here's the thing. Like when we're talking about wealth building, one of the fundamental things that I go over, and I can't cover this enough. I'm going to put this on this sketcher for you guys on the whiteboard so you can see this. We have this thing here. It's called the triangle of wealth, right? And at the very front of this, we talked about this before. It's earn. Then we have save. And then we have invest. Right. And typically it goes like this. People either overlook the savings one, right? They think, oh, we don't need to save because Robert Kiyosaki and Grant Cardone said not to, right? They completely overlook the fact that these guys have massive amounts of cash holdings, right? Then we over-focus on the investing. Oh, I got to find the right investment. If I can just find the right investment, I'm going to get rich. I'm going to build wealth. Like if I get in at the right level and the right thing and the right opportunity and the right timing and the right market, and I'll have all these things, you know, just right, I'll be wealthy. And we look at this earning thing and we kind of say, eh, right? Oh, I don't want to earn income. I like the whole point of this is to not. And so I'm here to tell you this is actually a complete contradiction, right? You need to earn lots of active income. You're earning active income to build wealth. This is your accelerator. This is your gas pedal, right? And you're going to trade something for money, right? Whether it's time or whether it's energy, or whether it's ideas or resources or a service, it doesn't matter. You're gonna trade time and money or resources and money. Something will be traded for money, right? And so the real question is, are we doing enough of this and enough of this in order to fuel this so that we can become financially independent, right? Financial independence looks like this. Passive income exceeding giving, expenses, taxes, and savings. PI greater than gets, right? And this is really something that if we aren't focusing on the active income, we're not going to get there, right? You're not going to do it just through investing, okay? So I was talking to this group today, and we were really honing in on the active income thing. And the question came up of how do I increase my active income right now? Okay, and it comes down to really doing more of the thing you do already. This is extremely overlooked. A lot of times we think, okay, how do I increase my active income? And we start thinking of new ideas, interesting things we could try, a new multi-level marketing or a side hustle or a new product in the business, right? As an entrepreneur, I'm guilty of this just the same. I look at, I want to grow my business's revenue, and then automatically I'm like, oh, let me launch a new product idea, right? What if I bring in this thing? What if I bring in that thing? And the reality is, if you just do more of the thing you already do, right, you're going to make more money and you're going to make it faster. Okay. Now, I want you to think with your income now, where are you at, right? And if you're in the 50,000 range or the 100,000 range, we've got some work to do. Right. If you're making $250,000 a year or more, right, you're in a decent range. You've got the resources to really start making a dent in your wealth building. And so if you're not at that 250, I would say to make that your first target. Right. Don't even worry about, and I'm not saying don't invest, but don't even worry about the investing yet. You should be investing in your skill sets right now. Okay. Now, here are the things that I'm going to put this again on the whiteboard. The main things that I would be investing in order to grow your active income. Okay. So the first thing is mindset. I would be investing in my mindset. I would be removing mental blocks. I would be overcoming thinking patterns that aren't working, right? And getting rid of opinions that aren't getting me where I want to be at. A lot of times, guys, like we hamper down on these, you know, I learned this growing up, or I heard this from my mom or my dad or my teacher, and I'm very attached to it, right? But when is the last time we looked at, well, where did they get it from? Right, mom, dad, the teacher, grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, whoever it was, where did they get it from? Do we even know that? Right, things like money doesn't grow on trees, or it can't make you happy, right? Or, you know, we're not the Rockefellers, like these kind of statements, where did that even come from? Where did they get it from? That's the first thing. And the second thing is it working for them? What are their financial statistics? You see, because opinions are like keys for a door. Right. And the opinion you have may not be the key that's needed for the door you're trying to open. And if you're married to the key and you're like, oh, I love this key. It's such a good key. I got it from so and so. But you're trying to get into that door and that key doesn't work for that door, you're kind of stuck. Right. So the mindsets, this is the first thing I'd be investing in. Second thing is financial literacy. You see, I'm convinced that the number one reason that people don't earn lots of active income is they don't understand the thing they're earning. Right? Imagine playing a sport like basketball and not understanding what a ball was or a hoop or how to play or what to do with it. You wouldn't win. You would not only not win, you wouldn't want to play. Right? And if you were required to play where it was like, hey, this is mandatory, you would probably do the bare minimum. Right. And try and skate by and not do very much and do other things instead because you're like, oh, I'm required. What's the minimum requirement? That's a lot of most people when it comes to their active income sources. Right. This Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, collect a paycheck and then just leave, you know, and if the work gets too hard, I'm going to quit and find a different job and say I'm burnt out or it doesn't align with my purpose. Like all these kinds of things. Right. So I want you focusing on, okay, I need to understand money. If I understand the thing it is that I'm working for, the thing I'm earning, if I understand that, right, then I can win at the game I'm playing. You see, I'm one of these people where I'm very big on purpose. I like doing things that are purpose-oriented, right? But I think of the purpose with the end result, right? The end result, not the thing I'm doing, not always the activity, right? Because the activity might be something I don't like doing, right? There's things in my day-to-day life that I don't enjoy. I'm like, I don't like this function. I don't like this task, right? But because doing the task is connected to my purpose, even if the purpose is just I need to earn income right now because I want to invest or I want to help my kids or I want to donate or I want to, you know, maybe go on a vacation with my spouse, right? Those are associated with my purpose. I'm willing to grind and I'm willing to make the income to do that because those things matter. Right? So one of the basics here is detaching whether I like or don't like the function, instead focusing on the long range purpose and realizing that not every single little part of your earning and income earning activities are going to be things that thing is your purpose. A lot of them won't be. Probably 80% of it won't be. Right? And I just buck up and I do it and I get the thing done. Right. So think about this, like someone that's making $700,000 per year. And if you're watching this and you're near that range, you can relate. Right? This is the group I'm in. And if you're watching and you're in this group, you know how hard it is to get there. It's not this easy thing where it's like the money just shows up and, you know, your fortune and privilege. It's a lot of work, right? It's a lot of sweat, blood, tears, grinding, working weekends, you know, and you're either going to do that on the front end or you're going to do that throughout, right? But here's the deal, guys. One of my favorite movies in the world, Shawshank Redemption. Right? Who's seen Shawshank Redemption? If you've seen that movie, comment below, right? Shawshank Redemption, the guy gets he puts it gets put in prison, right? And it's questionable as to whether or not he deserves to be there. And you see in this movie, the entire time during the day, he's playing the right role in the prison. He's figuring out how can I be valuable, right? Even though I don't like these people, even though I don't like the job, even though I don't like the thing, how can I be valuable? Right? He's doing the warden's bookkeeping. He's looking for ways to contribute in the prison, even though he hates it there. Right? And then every single night, he's digging a tunnel with a spoon, right? Through the concrete walls so that he can long range escape from the prison. Right now, there's two kind of people that are watching this right now. There's the group of people where the thing you do on a daily basis for your work, it is your purpose. It's not prison, you're not trying to escape. Right? And if that's the case, realize the work might not be prison, but your financial condition is. The obligation to have to trade time for money, that is a form of slavery. Right? The inability to eat organic when you want to and need to, that's slavery. The inability to contribute to your mom or your dad who might be older and they might get sick and they might need you to fly down and take care of them and to not be able to afford that's slavery. Even if I love what I do, right? Part of my story is when I was 20, 21 years old, my mom was diagnosed with cancer, right? Stage 4 colon cancer. At the time, I was financially illiterate. I was spiritually and financially broke. Right, I was doing a pizza delivery job that I absolutely hated with people that I absolutely hated. Right, here's the thing. When you're 20 delivering pizza, that's pretty normal. Like that's who that job is for. If you're 40 and you're doing it, something bad happened in life. You're not really the caliber person that I would want to spend time with. If I'm focusing on my business and entrepreneurism and growing and personal development, I wasn't excited to spend time with these people. Right, I'm talking drugs and just weird addictions and odd things, right? So I was doing this pizza job. My mom gets sick, and on Christmas that year, right, she passed away, I think December 28th of that year. On Christmas, I couldn't get the time off. I could not get someone to take my shift so that I could get off of my stupid pizza job that I hated to go spend time with my dying mom on Christmas. Right? You want to talk about messed up. That's messed up. Right? And that's what I was going through. And the reason was that I was in financial slavery. I was also in career slavery. I wasn't earning lots of income there. Right? Now, if I was making $1 million a year doing the pizza thing, right? I would be like, cool, I'll hang out with these people all the time. I don't care. I get paid enough to put up with them. Great. Right? When you're making $8 an hour plus tips, it's a little bit different. Okay, so there's this thing of your purpose. Your job might not be your purpose. And I would challenge you to find a way to make it align, right? Your purpose should be three things. It should be to improve your quality of life individually, the quality of life of the ones you love, and the quality of life of the world around you. And it does not matter how you go about earning income to get that done. Right, as long as it's ethical and it's moral and it's something that enhances these three things. It improves your quality of life, the quality of life of your loved ones, and the quality of life of your family. And it's ethical and you consider it moral. If it meets all five of those things, that's totally fine. You don't need to love it. You're not there to stay, right? You're there to become financially independent. They're funding you to be able to save 40% of your gross income, put that into passive income producing investments. Have passive income greater than your giving expenses, taxes, and savings, and no longer have the obligation of doing that thing anymore. Right? Now, here's the deal. Like with the income thing, like a lot of times, here's what happens. Let me just clear my whiteboard off for you guys. Like, someone is here at the starting point. This is step one, and they're thinking about, step 100 over here of financial independence, passive income greater than giving, expenses, taxes, and savings, right? So they're thinking about this stuff and they're saying, good, I'm over here and I'm making $150,000 a year, let's say, right? And they're looking at this and they're saying, wow, it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of effort to get to 100. I really don't like the thing I do. Should I just quit this and go start something different and then, reset myself and then try and go do this? Right? And here's the thing is like when you're here, you will be able to do whatever it is you want to do with your time actively. Right? When you're not dependent on a paycheck, the level of creativity that you have, the level of freedom that you have, the level of being able to try things and experiment and not have any downside consequence for doing so drastically increases. Right? So if I'm making 150 here, I would not go start at zero. Guys, I would not say, no, let me quit and go start something at zero and try and reset unless I'm really, really confident that I'm going to make the 150 in a year or less. And I do 150 or more, then only then would I do it. But if it's like this might take 3 or 5 years to do, no, I'm going to stick with the thing right now that is actually working. Right? So the number one thing that you want to focus on earning income is adding value to other people. Exchanging value to other people. Right? Find out who is it that pays me? Where do I get the money from on an active basis? Right? If it's an employer and I'm on a salary or hourly wage, that's my exchange. I exchange with them. They're the person. I have to add value to them. They increase my pay or don't. Right? If I'm in sales, it's my customer. Right? If I'm in business, it's my customer. If I'm a service provider, it's whoever I'm providing that service to that ultimately pays me. But here's the thing is in order to increase and earn massive amounts of income, you have to be completely selfless. This is the part that so many people miss that prevents someone from getting their active, not their passive, their active income into a top 1% range. The number one thing that prevents someone from doing that is selfishness, right? There's two things that will come up. I don't need all that, and I don't like that. Those are the two mental blocks that will stop you from earning your active income potential, right? The idea that, oh, I don't need 700 grand. I don't either, guys. I could like, if you ask anyone who knows me well, I will live on 3 or 4 grand a month and be fine. I don't spend a lot of money on stuff. I go to the gym. I like to eat organic food. I buy supplements. I don't go out a lot. Like I like to work. So I'm not an expensive dude. So I'm thinking, okay, good. Do I really need 1% income for me? No, I don't. Right? Now, does my family? There's another story. My quality of life, I don't need $700,000 a year to do that. My family, somewhere in that range, not 700,000, but more, right? More than I'd make for myself. Then when I think about the world around me, it becomes unlimited. Do you see that? It almost becomes an ethical responsibility. And this is the mindset that I want you to have. If I can, I must, because I owe it to society. I owe it to the world around me. I owe it to become free, to be an example of freedom, to free my family, to free those around me. To better society, to make the planet a better place. If I'm able to do that, and this is firmly my belief, guys, if I am able to do that and I know that about myself, and I know I have the ability, and I choose not to me, that's unethical. Right? Knowing what my potential is and choosing to play below it, that is unethical. I mince no words about that. That fully is my viewpoint. That fully is my opinion. I would not think well of myself if I was doing that. Because I would know I was robbing myself. I was robbing the world around me. So the thing of I don't need all that, well, someone else does. Right? Someone else definitely does. And if you have the ability to help, do so. There's so much help needed on the planet, right? Now, the other thing too is it's not about what you need. In the game of earning active income, what you need is the last thing that matters. It literally is about what the person that or the people need that you're exchanging with. That's the only thing that matters. Your opinion, your needs, your prerogatives, your priorities. No, it doesn't matter. It's not a thing. Right? If you're in sales, your customer does not care what you need. If you're in business, your client does not care what you need. Right? Like, so you have to really think about my needs are not the focus here. If I'm trying to earn active income and get into that top 1% range, their needs matter. Okay? So I don't need all that, right? And then the other one is I don't like it. I don't like this part. I don't like this. I don't like that. Okay? Again, what do you like better? Right? Being a financial slave or having freedom? Because last time I checked, those that are earning top 1% levels of income, they've got a lot more freedom. Those that are investing in income producing assets, they've got a lot more freedom. Right? You might not like all the things you have to do to get there, but I want you to ask yourself, if I'm willing, if I do this, let's say it's 15 years. I put in a good hard 15 years and I'm 30 now and I'm 45 when I'm done. And then you have the rest of your life to be free. Right? Or you're never free. And you're 30 years old or you're 40, and you're gonna stay trading time for money out of obligation, never really living the life of your dreams, never really achieving your potential, never really experiencing and having true wealth for the rest of your life so that you can major in the minors. When I say major in the minors, oh, it's uncomfortable. I don't like staying up that late. I don't wanna work on a Saturday. That's the minors, guys. The majors is like, why are you here? What is your goal? What is your purpose? What are you going to accomplish? What's the effect you're going to create in your life, your loved ones' lives, and the world around you? That's the majors. And if you got to give up a couple Saturdays and work some extra nights to do that for a few years, I think that's well worth it. Right? When you die, nobody's going to say, man, you really knew how to have a Saturday afternoon. That's not going to happen at your funeral. It's not a conversation anyone's going to have. Oh, he donated to our church in a major way. He helped me. She gave me a hand up in a time of need. They started a business. They partnered with me when I didn't have capital to start my own business. Those are the things that matter. Not, oh man, he watched some good Netflix on Wednesday nights. Right? That nobody's gonna care about that. Like, you won't even care about that. You don't even remember what you watched last week. Right? Now, this is the thing. You have the value in. You're focusing on the needs of others, not of yourself. Right? You're not focusing on what you like, and you should actually take the viewpoint you're not going to like most of it. That's what I do. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to like most of it. I'm going to really like the result. Right? It's kind of like going to the gym, right? Unless you're like me, where you do like most of it, but most people don't. Right? They're not like, yeah, I'm excited to go do, lunges or to go run sprints. Right? For me, I actually am. So I'm like, yeah, sprints. Right? But most people aren't that way. But you do it. Why? Because of the results. The results is worth it. Right? So you're going to do something you've already got knowledge in. You're going to do something you've already got skill at, right? You're going to do something that you already have a track record with. That's going to eliminate the time of having to learn and acquire the skills. And you're going to just push on that. And you're going to focus on the needs of others. You're not going to focus on what you do or don't like about the process. You're going to focus instead on the result and your purpose, right? Because here's the thing, guys, with the purpose, when my purpose is big enough, and the freedoms associated with the goal, like this is what I'm gonna be able to do when I achieve the goal, I will put up with some shit. Right? Like, who is like that? Let me see a show of hands. If it's good enough and you're like, the purpose aligns, the freedom is there, I don't necessarily like all the stuff I gotta do, but I will put up with it. Who else is that way? Right? Show of hands, comment below. Okay? So I'm that way where I'm like, okay, good. This is totally worth it. One of the things that you might not know about me. I love, and you might know about this about me. I love helping people. Right? Now, I'm not necessarily going to be the guy that carries your groceries or helps you move, right? But I am the guy that's going to maybe start an organization that impacts lots of people, and I want to be able to donate to it and put someone in charge of it and teach them. Like, I love that, right? I love doing big impact things. And so I get really excited about that, and I'm willing to deal with barriers and I'm willing to deal with obstacles to getting there. Okay, so again, guys, these are the things you got to focus on. And again, back to the investing part. First is mindset. Second is financial literacy. Third is skill set. Right? What is your skill set? Now, in the realm of skill set, everybody here needs to be good at sales. Right? Now you're watching this and you might be like, I'm not a salesperson. I'm a mom. I'm a teacher. I'm a mechanic. I'm not a salesperson. I don't want to be a salesperson. Okay, here's what, that's not what I'm saying. Okay, sales is the ability to use communication to gain the cooperation of others in a positive fashion. Everybody needs that. The ability to use communication to gain the cooperation of others in a positive fashion. This is how you get people to help you. This is how you get people to work with you. This is how you get people to forward your ideas. This is leadership. This is being a husband. This is being a wife. If you're like, I'm not a salesperson, I'm a mom. No. You're the number one salesperson if you're a mom. All you do is sell. All you do is convince your kids why they should do things they don't want to do. You're in sales. Welcome to the sales world. Embrace it. Learn about it. If you can master finances as a subject and a skill set, and sales, which is really just communication as an actual skill set, you will succeed in anything you do. Right? It doesn't matter what field you're in. Now, the other part of the skill set thing is your literal field. If you're in construction, figure out how to be better at that. Right? If you're in speech therapy, figure out how to be better at that. If you're in, chiropractic, figure out how to be the better chiropractor. Get into the top 1%. Okay? Now, here's a general rule of thumb that I use on this, guys, as far as skill sets concerned. If you study something, and I don't mean just read about it, I mean study it, like you're looking up the words and you're really like diving into it to understand it with the idea that you're going to apply it. You study something typically for 20 to 40 hours, really go for it. You'll become proficient in that thing. Right? If you do it for 100 to 200 hours, right? You'll become an expert. If you study that thing and drill that thing, not practicing by doing, I mean literally like you're there learning about it and figuring it out and drilling it and practicing it and rehearsing it, and you do that for 100 to 200 hours, you will become an expert in that thing, right? If you do it for 10,000 hours, you'll become the best in the world. You'll become the Michael Jordan of whatever that thing is. You'll become the Wayne Gretzky of whatever that thing is. Right? Now, here's the deal. Most people are going to do this on something and they're not going to be intentional about what it is. And they're not going to purposefully align it with something that grows their active income. Right? How many people in America do you think spend 20 to 40 hours in a month on Netflix? Or scrolling on their Facebook page, right? Or watching dumb videos on TikTok that aren't going to ever impact their life, right? So they're becoming proficient in something that's not going to do anything for them, right? Let's fly above this. How many people spend 100 to 200 hours in a year doing those things, right? They become expert level in literal nonsense. It's stupidity. It's never going to make their life more valuable. It's never going to improve their quality of life. It won't improve the quality of life for their loved ones. It won't improve the quality of life for the world around them. Okay. Now, in a decade or more, there are a few things in your life that you're going to do 10,000 hours or more of. Right? You will become top 1% in the world at whatever those things are. And let's just take 10 years, for example. Right? 10 years, 10,000 hours over 10 years. What is this? That's 10,000 hours over 10 years. Okay, that's 1,000 hours a year, right? That is 52 hours a week. That's 20 hours a week. Anything you spend 20 hours a week on, you will be the top 1% of the world at it in 10 years from now. What are those things? And are you being intentional with them? Right? Because income comes down to what is your value? And I heard a great quote from a friend of mine this week. He said, your income is actually an awareness level. Your income is representative of your awareness level. The less income you earn, the less aware you are. The more income you earn, the more aware you are. So if I really want to increase my income, what do I increase first? I increase my awareness level. Right? What is awareness? Awareness means I'm conscious of things. I know they're there. Right? The things that I'm aware of are the things that I can then start to gain knowledge on and responsibility for and control over. Right? Now, if I'm looking at this from a standpoint of increasing my income, the more I'm aware of, the more opportunities I have to help. Right? This is actually one of the reasons why people don't increase their awareness is they don't want the responsibility that goes with it. Once I'm aware and I've looked and I know it's out there, I'm like, wow, now I can either ignore it or I can go help. Right? A lot of times it's easier just to ignore it because that's the life routine. Okay, so guys, here's the deal. This 10,000 hours stuff, like you're gonna do something 20 hours a week already. Right? Most of us are gonna do more than that. Our jobs, we do 40 hours a week minimum. 5 years, you did 10,000 hours. If you've done the same job for 5 years, you are top 1% in the world at that job. So are you getting paid for it? This is what I wanna end on. This is what I wanna wrap up with. Are you getting paid for being top 1% at what you do? And if you aren't, it's because you have the skill set, right? You aren't trained in sales, I would venture to guess. You aren't trained in finance, I would venture to guess. You're not investing in your mindset, I would venture to guess. And the final one I haven't covered yet, you're not investing in your network. At the upper echelons, I had a meeting with a very wealthy family office owner, and he said, you know, this whole thing of your net worth is your network is your net worth. Who's heard this one? Your network is your net worth. Right? We hear it all the time. And he's like, yeah, so at the family office level, it literally is that. Right? He's like, your network is the people that you do business with at this level. It's the people that you invest with at this level. It's the people that support your ventures at this level. It's the people in your family office or in your family, right? And so he was saying your network really is that. Right? So he invests in knowing more people. He wants to be known and wants to know people. Right? The more people he knows and the more people that know him, the more valuable his network becomes, the more his net worth grows. Right? So this means you're paying to go to mastermind groups, you're going into coaching sessions, you're going to events, you're going out there, you're meeting people. With the intention of, I want to connect with this person and I want to be valuable to them. I want to focus on their needs first. It doesn't matter what I like, it's about what they like. And I want to make sure that I figure out a way to get an exchange with them in their lives and bring value to them because it'll come back somehow. Right? Another family office executive I spoke with maybe 2 months ago, right? He's like, Jerry, you wouldn't believe it at the family office level. And for those that don't know what a family office is, this came from John Rockefeller back in the late 1800s. He took his family's wealth and turned that into the family business, into an enterprise. And his net worth tripled when he did that. He became the wealthiest man in the United States. He surpassed Andrew Carnegie at the time, right? Inflation adjusted. Musk and Bezos still haven't caught up to Rockefeller, right? So he said at that level, the family office level, when you're investing in, and this starts at the $10 million net worth and higher. Right? Maybe 5 million you can get away with it, but 10 million really is the hard line, right? So at the $10 million level and higher, he's like, these people literally, it's like a closed-ended circuit. Like they only do business back and forth. So he said, for example, family A came up with an investment deal. They brought it to family B, who they know really well, they always do business with, right? And they invest with family B, and then they just pass the money back and forth. And he's like, at the end of the deal, like family B made like $70 million, family A made like $100 million, and it never left their little network. Right? So a big part of earning more income is who you know and who knows you. You've got to grow that. You're not going to earn top 1% net worth, you know, knowing the same people you've known forever, who are doing the same things they've always done, who aren't actually pursuing that goal themselves. And I'm not saying these people are bad or wrong. I'm saying you have different purposes in your life and you have different goals. Right? If you're on this webinar and you're wanting to learn about finances and you're like, man, how do I make this thing happen? Right? Or maybe you're at that million, $2 million net worth and you're like, I'm plateaued. I've been here for 4 or 5 years. I haven't budged. Right? A big part of that is who you spend your time with. Right? It's who you network with. Right? Like at the lower income levels, the exchange is time for time. Nobody wins on that one. Time for time. Right? We just kill time, you know. And here's how you know you're in the wrong group, when you're hearing the same stories being told over and over about the past, even if they're good ones. Right? The future can't live in the past. Right? Trade those stories out for goals. What are we going to do? Not remember what we did. Anytime it's remember what we did and we start wandering down memory lane, for me, I'm out. I'm like, this is not a conversation I want to be a part of. Even if it's good stuff. Already happened. We thought about it. Cool. Great. Let's figure out what are we going to do? What's the next thing? Right. So if you're watching this today, what I want to do is I want to give you a free offer. As you're learning about finances, if you've not read my book, Blueprints Financial Freedom, right, this is based on over 10 years of research that I've done studying the top 1%. Right, guys, I've put my 10,000 hours in on this many times over. Okay, and so what I found was the wealthiest individuals and families, they're not doing the stuff that we're being taught with finances. They're not giving their money to the banks. They're not putting it in their retirement accounts. They're not paying, their home off. They're not, giving it to the college system. They're not putting it in Wall Street, right? And I started seeing all this stuff and I started studying, well, what did they actually do? Historically speaking, when I study the Rockefellers, Carnegies, the Vanderbilts, the Morgans, the Rothschilds, like all these really big name wealthy families that have been around forever and their wealth is generational, I started to see some commonalities. Right? And two of the commonalities I mentioned already, every single one of them had a financial education. Right? And it's ironic because we'll sit here and we'll talk about, man, I want to be financially free. I want to provide a legacy. Right. And then it's like, cool, go study for 10 minutes a day. All of a sudden, no. I can't tell you how many times I see this where it's like, oh, I have to do something. I can't just hand it off to someone and they're gonna do it all for me. I have to learn. I've gotta actually put some work in. Of course you do. Your wealth needs to be treated like a business, right? So if you're watching this, I want to give you a free copy of this book. What I'm gonna do is drop the link in the chat if you're live on the webinar today. So you can go to jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. You can get a free copy of the book. Let me post this on the whiteboard as well for those that are watching visually if you'd like to see this link. So if you go here, you can get a free copy. You cover your shipping, we'll send it out to you. jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. Okay, guys, so takeaways on this, right? Everything I teach, it's always simple, it's always true, it's always applicable, right? So if you're not investing in the things I mentioned today, right? If you're not investing in your mindset, if you're not investing in your financial literacy, if you're not investing in knowing how to sell and communicate, if you're not investing in improving your skill set, if you're not investing in growing your network, start there. Start there and your income will go up, right? Now, if you're a client of mine, and if you're a client of mine watching this, you know you're a client of mine, I want to issue you a challenge. Okay, we have a program, and if you've got our Wealth Dynamics membership, you have this program already. It's called the Big Three Challenge, right? The Big Three Challenge is a challenge that, as a member, you get to do completely for free. This is the benefit of yours as a client. Over the next 90 days, we're going to transform your income, right? So it's a 90-day challenge, three activities a day geared to help you raise your income levels, increase your assets to an all-time high. And it's going to involve going through our program and actually doing this 90-day challenge with an accountability partner and with a supervisor, right? So if you're a client and you want to learn about that, reach out. You can email me or the team and let us know, hey, Jerry talked about the three big three challenge. I want to get started. I'd like to get set up with an accountability partner and I want to get rolling on this because this is jet fuel. In the next 90 days, you're going to make massive progress in your business, your career, whatever it is you do to earn active income right now. That's going to propel your net worth. Okay, guys, that's all I got for tonight. Thank you for watching. Like, share, subscribe. I'll see you next Friday, 8:30 p.m. Central Time for Finance Friday once again.